In the elite corridors of Forsyth University, power isn't just an abstract concept. It's a currency traded in flesh and manipulation. Story Macbeth knows this better than most. 3 years after escaping a brutal assault by her stepbrother Killian and his two best friends, she's returned with a dangerous plan. Applying to become the Lady of Lambda Delta Zeta fraternity places her directly back into her abuser's orbit, but this time she believes she's prepared. What she doesn't realize is that Killian, charming Tristan, and brooding musical prodigy Roth have turned her presence into a sophisticated competition with points assigned to various sexual acts, all building toward claiming her virginity. When forced to choose one lord as her primary, Story makes the shocking decision. I choose Killian. Not because she wants him most, but because she wants him least. This calculated choice sets in motion a psychological chess match where predator and prey constantly shift positions, and desire becomes the most dangerous weapon of all. The Lambda Delta Zeta Brownstone functions as both physical fortress and psychological battleground, operating by its own twisted rules. Each lord's private space reveals glimpses of their true nature. Killian's pristine room with his mother's photo, Tristan's space dominated by a self-portrait yet containing personal photos suggesting depth, and Wrath's sanctuary filled with instruments reflecting his artistic soul beneath his brooding exterior. Miss Crane, the sharp-tongued housekeeper who's witnessed generations of lords, offers Story cryptic wisdom. You can't control the year, but you can control the day. This becomes Story's survival mantra as she endures daily humiliations, serving meals in lingerie, facing public degradation, becoming a prop in their power games. What they don't realize is that Story isn't merely surviving, she's studying. Each lord reveals vulnerabilities. Killian's sadism masks insecurity. Tristan's charm hides calculating emptiness, and Wrath's musical genius compensates for his dyslexia. The Brownstone may be their domain, but Story is learning its secrets one painful day at a time. Perhaps the most devastating weapon in the Lord's arsenal isn't pain, it's pleasure. Story repeatedly experiences unwanted arousal during acts she mentally rejects, creating a devastating disconnect between her body's responses and her emotional state. During her first encounter with Wrath, she tries to fight her body's response but cannot prevent her physical reaction to his touch, leaving her confused and ashamed. Each lord employs different tactics. Killian's outright brutality provides a clear enemy to resist. Tristan's gentler approach, marked by apparent tenderness, creates more insidious damage. After he helps her reach orgasm following Killian's assault, Story turns away with the devastating observation, "If I'm broken, you're the one who broke me." Wrath, the self-described empath, takes pride in giving Story unwanted pleasure. "I can make your body betray you," he whispers, weaponizing her responses against her. This deliberate blurring of pleasure and violation undermines Story's sense of self, making her question whether her physical responses somehow make her complicit in her own abuse. In Forsyth University's Greek system, Story's virginity functions as both prize and symbol. For the lords, it represents conquest within their hierarchy. For Ted, her obsessive former client, it symbolizes an idealized purity. For Story, it evolves from burden to strategic asset as she recognizes its value in this predatory ecosystem. "Your virginity gives you power and protection that other girls lack," explains Sutton, the countess of a rival fraternity. "Use it to your advantage rather than viewing it as a burden." This conversation transforms Story's understanding, how even within captivity, she might leverage what makes her a target into a source of influence. The Lord's competition reveals how female sexuality becomes commodified within fraternity culture, with various ladies and countesses functioning as sexual currency in inter-house rivalries. When Story ultimately chooses Killian to take her virginity, she does so not from desire, but calculated strategy. selecting the Lord she feels least emotionally connected to, ensuring the act remains painful but emotionally sterile. In this moment, she transforms from prize into arbiter, reclaiming some agency within her captivity. "You're all birds of a feather," Miss Crane tells Story about the Lords, hinting at the damage beneath their privileged exteriors. As Story spends time in the brownstone, she develops complex attachments to her abusers through trauma bonding. When Tristan defends Story against fraternity pledges, claiming her as his property, she feels conflicted gratitude. Similarly, when Wrath teaches her to kiss gently, she responds to his tenderness despite recognizing his manipulation. These moments of apparent protection create powerful psychological attachments that compete with her rational understanding of their abuse. The power dynamics shift constantly. Though the Lords seemingly control everything, Story discovers leverage points. Wrath's reading difficulties, Tristan's concern for reputation, Killian's jealousy. When she performs oral sex on Wrath to help him study, she feels more like a lady with agency than a toy being used, revealing her understanding of power's fluidity. A significant shift occurs when Story is kidnapped by a rival fraternity and Killian rescues her, creating another layer of confused attachment that blurs the line between captor and savior. Story's discovery of the Lord's spreadsheet tracking game points reveals how every intimate moment was merely a strategic move in their competition. Points were awarded for physical acts and emotional manipulation, making her cry, laugh, or feel safe. Learning that Tristan and Wrath coached Killian that being nice works better than cruelty shatters any illusion of genuine connection. This revelation transforms Story from pawn to player. By sending Ted photographic evidence of her deflowering, she demonstrates her understanding of power dynamics, weaponizing her vulnerability for revenge. This calculated move proves she's learned to play their game, perhaps too well. The epilogue darkens as Ted examines Southside property, methodically planning vengeance against the Lords. His violent reaction to Story's message, shooting his real estate agent, suggests she's unleashed forces more dangerous than campus politics. The game has evolved beyond the brownstone into something potentially lethal, with Story now manipulating forces that may spiral beyond her control. Throughout the story, characters offer Story different models for responding to abuse. Miss Crane's violent resistance, Charlene's finding power within submission, and Sutton's leveraging virginity as currency, each representing strategies for navigating inescapable power systems. Story creates her own path by contacting Ted, introducing a new predator to disrupt the established power structure. This morally ambiguous decision fights cruelty with greater cruelty, manipulation with more dangerous manipulation. Yet this dark conclusion contains agency. Story transforms from reactive victim to proactive player, willing to risk everything to break the abuse cycle. Whether this represents liberation or deeper entrapment remains uncertain, but marks evolution from terrified girl to a young woman weaponizing her trauma. In Forsyth University's world, there are no heroes, only predators of varying degrees and prey learning to bite back. Story's journey suggests surviving sometimes means becoming what you fear, and that the most dangerous game unfolds in the shadows of trauma and desire.